You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Monday and it's noon, and of course that means the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Coach joins us right now, and I mean, there's many places we can go, but let's stay local right now. As the Giants lose this game, and it was a frustrating way to lose in a lot of ways because of the importance of the game all of a sudden this late in the season, but now the questions are, should Daniel Jones have even played because he did not look mobile, he didn't even run, didn't use his legs like we normally see, was the hamstring an issue? When you see that game, when you look at and the outcome and the importance of it, was it the right decision to play Daniel Jones?
Well, it's easy to sit back and everybody's going to, you shouldn't have played him and all that. I will say this. Yesterday, you know, like we picked the games. I'm on countdown. We picked the games. I took the Cardinals. And the reason I took them was because Daniel Jones, even if he played, I knew he was just toughing it out. And it's hard, man, when you're on one leg, you know, to do anything. Now, I didn't realize that the Giants were going to turn people completely loose, you know, rushing the quarterback too. But it was, you know, hey, it was obviously a big step back for the Giants, but hell, they're right in it, man. And like I said, the first 1-7 wins this conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy because I thought that as well. I just thought, you know, listen, now we have expectations, right? Because they got the big win, but now we expect them to win. So could they put two performances together? And that's a sign of a young team that's trying to find their identity. Were they feeling themselves a little bit? Maybe, maybe not. But the game should have been a little bit more competitive. When it's on film and they see how you want to try and win, teams prepare for you. And I think that they got the best Cardinals. The Cardinals didn't overlook them. And I thought that, Kyler Murray looked a little better. He's still
struggling to say that.
No, 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 no. He still is inconsistent. He still, you know, kind of throws the ball off the back of his foot, you know, and still doesn't go through his progressions as well. But listen, he's making winning plays. That's all you can ask this time of the season. You know, but, you know, when you – so what's the next step now? They're still in it. How does Joe Judge kind of get them to kind of put it all back into perspective after a disappointing loss, understanding what they have in front of them? Because I thought that for the Giants, that was the one that they could have got. I think it only gets harder because they're going to go for teams and now that's really trying to get playoff seeding, and that's going to be giving you that playoff mode. Can they kick it to the next gear and get into playoff mode and playoff desperation against their, you know, the rest of the teams on their schedule outside of Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to. And the big deal is it's like one-game seasons, man. We all know it. That's where you're at right now. And unfortunately, the decision is going to be about Daniel Jones. Like, he's got to be healthy, guys. If he's not healthy, he's not going to help you. But we know what the alternative is, and that's Colt McCoy. Well, that's not the answer. So that's kind of the dilemma for the Giants, and that's probably why they rushed Daniel Jones out there, knowing that, hell, he's the guy that gives them a shot. But right now, look, man, we know they've got to win two out of these next three. But you can't focus on anything but this one game right in front of you, and let's get out there. And look, your defense has played really well up until this past game. They were really playing well, and you got to ride them, and you got to get back, I think, to running the football, especially with the quarterback situation the way it is.
And you look at the division. Yeah, you look at the division right now, and you see Washington has an injury now with Alex Smith. We'll see what that strained calf becomes. And the Eagles now have a quarterback issue as well. Is Jalen Hurts, or do they? You know, Jalen Hurts plays really well, and Doug Peterson now in that awkward position of having to say he's our guy the rest of the way, but yet he won't do it. Rex, if you're in that position, what are you doing right now if you're the Eagles coach?
Well, you're playing Jalen Hurts. I don't think there's any question about it. And look, that kid, I've been sitting back saying, I don't think he has the NFL skill set. I'm still not sold completely.
Right.
But one thing I know about him, that dude is a winner, and he has got poise. And he enters this game not just against a good defense, but the number one defense statistically in the National Football League had gone 55 straight games without giving up a 100-yard rusher. And by the way, they gave up two, but one to the quarterback, give up 106 yards to Jalen Hurts. And that, to me, gives, you know, for the first time all year, I mean, I was excited to watch the Eagle offense. And I haven't been able to say that at any other point this season. So he's clearly the guy. You got to do it. Your whole team got a spark with Jalen Hurts out there. So, yeah, of course he's going to go back with Jalen Hurts.
You know, it's crazy. A lot of times, you know, since I've retired, I don't really root for teams. I root for stories. And when I look at Alex Smith and what he's able to do, if he's able to win a division after coming through what he's come through, you know, I think that's an amazing story, and I think it's a great narrative. But also, when you look at this Washington defense, listen, they remind me of last year's San Francisco 49ers. You know, when you think about just the heat, you know, Sweat, Kerrigan, Payne, Allen, and it's just like they're relentless, you know, on the front seven and what they're able to do. And I think that that's the recipe, especially if they get the young running back. I know he missed last game, but if they get him back, they can potentially be a dangerous team. They can be that 7-9 Seattle team that can upset somebody simply because they can get into, they can get to the pass. And the fact that I don't believe they've given up a touchdown in the second half of a game or in the third quarter of a game in like seven games, right?
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, a defense like that is frightening. And look, let's face it, Ioannidis, the young kid, I believe he's from Jersey area, if they get him back, that gives some depth at the tackle position, too. So it's like another phenomenal player. Like, it is crazy. But you built the defense. If you have it any way you want it, you want to build it from the front back. And that's what they've done. All those high picks are thrown in there. Now you're seeing it. And, Bart, you nailed it. When you say that reminds you of the Niners, absolutely. And look at the run they had. Unfortunately, if Alex Smith, and you're talking about a calf injury, he's not going to be right, guys. And if you got to lean on Dwayne Haskins, okay, let's see how that goes. You better get your running back back healthy, because I just don't like that kid at quarterback.
Yeah, that's obviously the big question, because I would think Washington would be your odds-on favorite easily at this point if Alex Smith is healthy, and you got to keep an eye on that because it changes everything. And their remaining schedule with Seattle, Carolina, and at Philly, you know, that's pretty favorable to them. You know, that should be where they could even get to. They have six wins eight. Now. They could get to eight, you know, which would easily lock up that division.
I think it's going to get to seven. But remember, the Giants have the tiebreaker.
Yes.
You know, against Washington. So you just got to tie them. And I truly believe the magic number is going to be seven. And if the Giants get there, they'll win the division based on tiebreaker. So, you know, we'll see. I wouldn't just say that Washington clearly is going to win two of the next three. I'm not so sure about that.
No, I'm with you on that one. Now, listen, we saw you rocking a beer. Is that for solidarity and like into the Jets into the Jets cover the spread? To the Jets cover the spread, not win until they cover the spread. are you growing it out?
You know what's funny? This is honest to God. So I've had a scar on my neck for years. Right back in the Jet day, I had like a lump deal. Had that thing removed, and it was nothing. Like, you know, thank God.
Yeah.
But I had a choice, and I had a choice. I could put like the scars behind my ears. It would have looked like a facelift, or I could have had a little scar in the middle of my neck. And I'm like, oh hell, I don't want no damn facelift. You know, I mean, shoot, I got
some Wayne Newton out there.
You know what I'm saying? So I went back. I'm like, now I'll take that scar. Looking back on it, I'm like, I'm still dealing with this crap. But every time I go to get, I get like some little laser treatment thing there. It tries to heal the scar a little bit.
Yeah.
And I shave, then people blow up Twitter and they blow up everything else. And what the hell is wrong with his neck or whatever? And so I'm like, oh shoot, you know, because it takes like 10 days for it to calm down.
Cool,
so I'm
down,
like, I'll just put the beard out there, you know.
Hey, I wonder if you remember. Remember when I tried to get laser hair surgery and treatment in the middle of the season, and it fried my face like bacon? You know what I mean?
I remember.
I remember saying on the sideline, man, this is why we always talk about skin like an armadillo. You know what I mean? How you have to have it. Like, I'm sitting there on the sideline in between plays, and then I was like, what the hell happened to your face? I was like, man, I say, hey, man, it's a lot going on, probably. prime, man. There's a lot going on. He's like, man, like I said, I had laser hair removal. He's like, man, well, they missed. Like, yeah, you think they missed? You know, but that was back in the day when they had those they had those racers lasers. Now I think now they got racist lasers. Because it's just a thing. Because the laser will mistake the skin follicles, the skin follicles for the hair follicles, because they both dark. You know, so it was missing it. So it was burning my. So every hair they hit, it missed too and burnt down my face. They were calling me Nestle Crunch for a month.
I remember, and you know what's so funny, Bart? Like, that's the NFL locker room, right? Everything's out there. You might as well be honest.
Exactly.
You might as well face, like, no, dude, I came and I had this or that or whatever. And, you know, shoot, just hey, forget it, man. You might, you know, the truth is what it is. And,
yeah, that's what it is. I try to get cute, Rex. I try to get cute. You know, speaking of that, you know what's crazy, man? I'm looking around. You always check the tea leaves and stuff. Paul Gunther fired. How crazy is that, right? You know, like Paul Gunther fired. It's another defense coordinator cut. Fired, and it looks like you know the Raiders still could be in it. Like, would you fire your defense coordinator before having like a conversation, or was that defense just that damn bad, giving up 44 points to Phillip Rivers yesterday?
Well, yeah, I think that defense is that dang bad, Bart. And when you look at it, they were on a historic pace, all right? And that pace is this. They'll be the only team in the history of the NFL to give up scoring drives in half the drives against them. Like, this is incredible. Like, wow. I was like, what?
50%?
Somebody gave me that stat. I'm like, 50% of the time everybody gets the ball, 50% of the time they're going to get points. And I'm like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew they were back defensively, and I think they have better talent than what they're showing.
Right.
But that is an unbelievable stat, and I wasn't shocked when – look, we all knew they were going to move on from them in the offseason, but maybe they think Rod Marinelli, they'll come in, simplify things, get to the cover two, you know, get that excuse over with. You know, I don't know if that's really the answer. He's been part of that defensive staff, but we'll find out. You know, they play, it's a short week. They play, which I really think is strange. I mean, you fire the guy in a short week. Like, okay.
That's a good point.
It was that bad.
I mean,
we talked about it on Friday, Bart.
Oh, yeah. No. Vegas giving up almost 30 points a game this season. Bottom five in the league in defensive points against. And, you know, to make the playoffs, only one team in the history of the league has made the playoffs allowing that many points per game. So it just doesn't happen. And they had to make a decision, and they did it there. Rex, let's go back in time again. Were you having Dan Carpenter flashbacks when you were watching Dan Bailey miss kick after kick?
Oh my god. And that was the thing. I'm like, they ran my butt out of Buffalo because I got a guy that can't kick a freaking extra point. And it was like, and he's popular as hell. They loved him. Don't worry about Dan. The hell don't worry about Dan. Yeah, he should have helped me pack, because he certainly contributed. And you know the way it is. When a kicker misses, it deflates your whole football team, and especially when they miss multiple kicks.
Like, dude, you got one job, one damn job. You don't do nothing.
Yeah,
all practice, training camps a breeze. You out there smoking cigarettes and playing video games while we out there in the sun dying, and you inside.
And
you come out
coaches
with
you.
No.
You know, like, nobody coaches you. Nobody does anything. Hey, all right, go for it, man. Let's go. Boot that thing through there. Let's go, babe. Boom. That's all you say to a kicker. You know,
that's not your coaching.
You got to take on that isolation. You got to knock his head off. You got to do this, that. Man, they get no coaching. Just stay out, hang out, look at, you know, watching soap operas and crap. And kicker, that's the only job you've got.
Kickers are the only dudes that get in better shape during the season. Like, they start off fat during training camp. Then they rip up because all they're doing is body sculpting all damn day. Hey, no, Rex, you know, we're at that time of the season, Rex, where, you know, like, we scoreboard watch, right? Because now teams are trying to pay attention to not only what they're doing, but what other teams are doing now. And it's, like, weird because you look at the Bears, and, like, oddly enough, they're still in it because what happened to Minnesota. And it's crazy, but, like, what team do you think that's outside right now looking in has the best chance to kind of get to the postseason?
Well, I mean, because there's obvious ones that are sitting out there, but I'm going to say a team that is on the outside right now that I think has the best shot is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
And because right now they're out of the playoff spot. You know, and look, take care of your business. They're a type of team that can get on a roll and beat anybody left on their schedule. So to me, if I'm going to pick one, it's the Baltimore Ravens.
They have what they have remaining. Obviously, tonight's game is a huge game, no right. question about it. Especially huge. You know, for the Browns, it's a big game. And then they got the Giants to finish.
Homecoming
after
that.
Yeah, you got the Jaguars and the Giants. You know, so you know if you're looking at it that way, you got to be feeling pretty good about your next couple of weeks. Yeah, I think they do finish against them, so you got to feel good about that. But on the Bengals, other side in that division, Rex, is Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, three straight games now where they can't get to 20 points. What are you seeing happening there? Is it finally catching up to them and what we saw them throughout the whole season? I mean, they had a horseshoe up you-know-what most of the season with some of the plays they were getting and taking advantage of, but is it catching up to them?
Well, it is, and you see the fact, you know, they're losing starters. So they've lost, you know, two linebackers. They lose Hayden, the corner. They lose the pass rusher, Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
And so now, all of a sudden, because you lose Devin White and his backup, well, all of a sudden, you don't have that same defense that you once had. You're putting every single thing you got on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders.
Yeah.
When, let's face it, all he does, he even talked about retirement again. Well, I should hang him up. Well, dude, maybe so. Because literally 4 years ago, I thought he was about done. And you're going to put everything you have on this guy. They don't run the football anymore. Like they're not. The only thing that looks familiar to me is the uniforms, because they don't play anything like the old Steelers. Like, where's that toughness in running the football? And you always had the threat of it. You always had to stop the run first. You don't see that with this football team right now, and I think it's going to hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, Pouncey coming back should help them a little bit, but James Conner just doesn't look like an effective back right now coming from COVID, and we always wonder what's the effects from COVID. We watched Cam Newton come back, didn't seem like he was the same player. We talk about, you know, the body, the cardiovascular, being able to recover, and it looks like the Steelers have adopted our short passing game as an extension of our run, and I think that's a mistake, because it's not about the runs, it's about their tempo runs. Ben's getting the ball out faster, out of his hands, he's ever gotten in his career, but with that being said, he's not taking the shots down the field and having explosive plays to make the defense have to defend the entire football field.
Yeah, see, Bart, that is spoken like somebody that knows what the hell he's talking about, because you're right. It's about the rushing attempts, not necessarily have the efficiency in the running game. And why? Because it's something your offensive line looks forward to. It's, you're not getting the quarterback sacked on a running play. You're getting the opportunity not to catch, but to be physical and attack somebody. And it's also better for your defense when you're able to run the football. And that's why they're flat out, you know, they just not running. There's no commitment whatsoever in the running game. And I think this, when they get to the playoffs, they have the look of a one and done team to me right now, which is crazy, because they're 11-2,
yes.
Like, or whatever it is. It's like crazy. Like, how the hell can that be? But it has that kind of feel to me right now.
All right, Alex, before we let you go, we are getting, we're almost there. We're three games away from the perfect season. 0-16.
There you go.
The perfect season that will hopefully end with the quarterback of the future, and then maybe some other changes as well. But I mean, did you ever think it could ever get this far? The worst record that they've ever had, the longest losing streak this franchise, and we're talking about the Jets, of course, have ever had, and trying to keep optimism, but a team that looks like everyone pretty much has let go of the rope. You just that performance in Seattle, it's emotionless, and I think as the fan base is completely numb. And it's just hard to believe that things will get better quickly once the season ends, but that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah, no, and at the beginning of the year, you guys kept telling me that this team's going to go 0-16. I'm like, oh, hell no, there's no way this team's going 0-16. Okay, put me on. I'm on that bandwagon with you. Yes, they are.
Wait, but you played against Bill Belichick enough to know that week 17, if they're 0-15, you don't think, would Bill find a way to get them that one win?
Oh, you know what's great? Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth?
No.
I tell you what. No, you're going to get the second pick and not the first pick. How about this? Everybody's talking about, well, this is an opportunity for Adam Gase to, you know, show us what he's got with Sam Darnold, because now they can go in a different direction. They're going to show you. How many years are we going to wait for Sam Darnold to do anything close to what Mark Sanchez did? When are we going to finally admit that Mark Sanchez was a better quarterback than Sam Darnold? And I don't get it. I know the kid's got ability and all that. Here's one thing he doesn't have: wins. He has none of those. And to me, it's like they got to move on. Look, Trevor Lawrence, guys, if you are a fan of Sam Darnold, wait till Trevor Lawrence shows up. Now you got something. And to me, that's what it's going to be all about. Let's not make the same mistake of hiring a quarterback guru to be your head football coach. It's okay to hire one of those guys to coach the quarterback, but hire a damn leader of a football team. And I think they have to get that right. And we'll see. There's names being floated out there, Bill Cowher or whatever. You know, he hadn't coached in a long time, but at least he's better than some of these dudes, you know.
Yeah, well, I think a resume is definitely important here. A leader, a voice, all that stuff. And I know, obviously, you know exactly what I'm talking about there, Rex. So in the words of Bart Scott, can't wait. Always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Call Dabo, because I know you know him personally.
Your son
went there. Tell him, don't tell Trevor to stay. Tell him to come on now. It'll be okay.
All right.
Trevor's no dummy. Trevor's going to come here and own this city. He's going to be the biggest thing in this city since Derek Jeter or somebody.
Wow.
I just think that he's no dummy. Yeah, he's coming, especially if you hire me.
I'm too fired up for this now. This was an interview we're supposed to do at the end of the season when we know everything, and you've already got me fired up.
That's all I need.
Rex, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you next week. All the best.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Rex is the best. That was one of the... I mean, we've had some really good Rex segments this season. That was a really good one. We're all over the place. And, he can never let him go. He's got to talk about the Jets. And you heard him. He's all fired up about Trevor Lawrence. And maybe he will reach out. Maybe he will sort of, you know, say, hey, Dabo, I'll talk to your guy. Tell him not to worry about the Jets.
You know, Rex's son, Seth, went to Clemson.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He's out there. He's a coach now out in... for the Chargers with Anthony Lynn, you know, paying it forward. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of how it works. You know what I'm saying? Hold you down, you hold me down.
He knows
that whole program. And I mean, I guess that's an interesting question because, I mean, even though Daniel Jones is good, he's not a star, right? I think Trevor Lawrence, he wasn't a star in college. This would be the Jets getting a star. Like this equivalent to the Jets, like getting Zion. Like, it's like, okay,
no,
he's going to bring. He's
100%.
He's going to bring electricity, instant pressure, instant, like, okay, let's see what this kid got. But I think this is even bigger than Miami getting Tua. And just imagine once again.
Yeah, because Tua had the injury.
Right, and then once again, you look at it.
It's bigger than Joe Burrow. Right, he's a bigger star than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, if he would have came out with Joe Burrow last year, he would have came out before.
The biggest college stars in the last 5 years.
This is like Cam Newton coming out, bro. This is like Cam Newton.
Okay,
this is even better to me than, and I don't think he's ever won a Heisman, but this is to me.
He was going
to
win it this year until, you know, the COVID stuff.
Right, to me, this is even bigger than, this is bigger than Deshaun Watson coming out. Listen, this guy's been a star. We've known about this guy since his freshman year. So it's like him coming here. I can't think of the equivalent of a star here. You know what I mean? It's stars that have come here, but day one stars? I don't really.
Eli.
No.
Eli is the last time you drafted somebody where you were like this, like everybody knew Eli.
Yeah, but everybody knew Eli mainly because of Archie. Nobody looked at Eli. Oh, look what he did in college. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate
in college. I'm with you. He won a national championship. Right. I got you.
So this dude is a rock star coming in. You know what I mean? We don't have
to get me all fired up right now. We don't have three more losses to get through.
Bill Belichick's going to. We have to evaluate Jarrett Stidham. No!
Well, we're going to have to evaluate who's
and
our
Nikhil Harry. And Nikhil Harry. No!
Who's our practice quarterback? Who's our practice squad? Let's get this dude in there. We're going to have to. You know what? Christian Hackenberg is now signed to the Jets for week 17. We want to evaluate Christian Hackenberg.
Exactly.
Just one more time.
We want to know,
what's Johnny Football doing these days? Maybe he's available.
Yeah,
this portion of the show is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything. Buy it for your wife for Christmas. She'll love it. Put a bow on it. Experience amazing. See your Lexus dealer. 800-919-3776. All right, before we get to audio files, we got a couple of good cuts. Kyrie Irving, by the way, breaking news. I got some breaking news for you.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Kyrie Irving is speaking to the media. Right now. That's true.
Thanks for your good.
He is
your
on
bigness.
Zoom.
I like that one. That's one first.
I'm sorry about that.
Sorry
your
about
bigness.
That, your bigness.
He is speaking to the media, and he actually did clarify that when he was saying that he doesn't speak to pawns, he wasn't referring to the media.
Okay. Oh, so who's the pawn? Bloggers?
You know what? Just
bloggers?
Change.
People on Twitch?
Just keep changing the narrative. It doesn't matter.
Way to go, Adam
Doesn't
Silver.
Matter.
Wait,
so,
way to go, Adam Silver.
Hey, good news is he kept the $25,000 today.
Yeah.
That's it. He kept it. So good for him. He's talking to the media. See, it's not so hard. All right, let's grab a couple of calls, though. We got some people that have been on hold for a while, including Maurice in Brooklyn. Maurice.
Hey, what's going on, Bart? What's going on, huh?
What's happening?
Kuda Matata, baby. What's good?
You know, everybody's talking about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, how good they're going to play together, but we forget one thing. Kyrie feels he's an alpha dog. He came in first. He convinced Durant to come here. So by midseason, I see Durant and Kyrie having a problem like he did with Russ Westbrook and like he did in Boston. It's going to be a problem. Kyrie can't be second fiddle. Even though he came in first, he got to be first fiddle. So I think Durant going to get tired of that like he got tired of Westbrook and want to get out of here.
Well, Durant was like 1B, like to Steph and Clay. He fit in there. And I think the only reason that he came here, not the Knicks, is because, you know, Kyrie didn't go there. I think it was a buddy thing. I think Kyrie signed first. I don't think he was the driving force. I think Kyrie wanted to hook up with KD just as bad, if not more, than KD needed Kyrie. So I think KD could have stayed where he was at. KD could have anywhere. See, it's like this. Anywhere KD goes, that team is an instant winner and contender. Anywhere Kyrie goes, not so much, because he went to Boston and didn't have that same effect. KD left and went to Golden State and was the best person on the court, and he suppressed some of his game to let them live. So Kyrie, we don't talk about Kyrie as the number two player in the league. We talk about KD that way. So Kyrie can believe whatever he wants, but the reality and the facts of it is wherever KD goes, that team. Tell me one place you can take KD right now. You can put KD with the Pistons and Blake Griffin right now, and they would be the contender to win the East.
They'd be really good. I don't know if they'd be the contender to win the East, but they'd be really good. But I do think, you know, a guy like Kevin would want to make sure there were other stars there. And any stars in the league today, that's why James Harden, by the way, another report today, this time Ramona Shelburne reporting it with Woj.
I just want a fair chance, man.
He's still, no matter what he's seeing from John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins in the first two preseason games, he still wants out. That hasn't changed, and he continues to have this very bizarre sort of passive-aggressive holdout going on right now with the Rockets. One more on the Nets. D-Rock, also in the BK. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, y'all? I am a first-time listener. At the recommendation of my brother, who's a Knicks fan, because I thought ESPN was a Knicks station. I'm glad to be on with you guys. It's a great show so far.
Appreciate you.
Cool. So earlier in the 11 o'clock hour, you asked about you know, how the Nets look. You know, you talk about Kyrie's efficiency. You talk about Spencer's stat line. You know, KD at the four, the team depth. There's two things that stand out to me, and you guys made your points before it went to the 12 o'clock hour. So if you could address these, this would be great. So when it comes to the Nets, can their fast, efficient play overcome, you know, more traditional lineups? Like, the way I'm looking at it right now, the 76ers, if they were to meet in the playoffs, as the team stands right now, that might be the only team in the East that the Nets cannot beat. And your point, yeah, go ahead.
All right, let me hit that one first real quick. Let me hit that one first real quick, okay. because I do think the addition of DeAndre Jordan,
that's what that was
and the
for.
Fact that they want to keep him instead of move him is for Embiid. And I think that's something they missed. You know, Jared Allen just had a hard time with him. So I do think that helps them a lot. I still also believe, though, that Milwaukee will give them a hard time as well, and I think Miami will. Miami is, and the reason why Miami will is because of just how hard they play.
Bam,
they're a feisty, ferocious team, and they've got some size that they can be physical with you. And I don't think, you know, Jimmy Butler on Kyrie or KD, but also what Bam has to bring to the table. They've got some big physical guys that will make life miserable for the Nets. Doesn't mean they can't beat them in a playoff series, but if you're looking at teams that they don't, that you could see them struggling against, I look at those teams and maybe even Boston. It's going to be fun, though. I'll tell you what, D. I think those are going to be fun games. Watching them play the Wizards, it ain't fun. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see it when they're going up against some teams where, okay, there's some grime and grit in this game. Let's turn this into now a battle. Let's see guys start to show out. And that's when we'll see if Kevin's really back, you know, when he goes up against some dudes that are trying to lock him up.
I completely agree with you. So definitely it'll be interesting to see. The other point, Bart, you was talking about this more recent Brooklyn as well. Kyrie's engagement with the team that he chose. With the Celtics, it kind of fell apart because he didn't request to go there. You know, he had his trade request from Cleveland. This time he chose Brooklyn. I don't see any chemistry issues or him wanting to take the first, second, third, fourth, and last shot. I think he's going to pretty much play that efficient basketball. I don't think it's going to be a problem necessarily. You know, the off-court antics, you know, with him and the Instagram Live, you know, that's what we Nets fans got to deal with. But I think on the court, we're going to see no problems from him. And I think Steve Nash was the perfect coach. Although he's a rookie, I think he was the perfect coach to blend this team together to go for the common goal, which is the championship.
Well, you got
thank you, dude. Yeah, appreciate you, man.
You got D'Antoni behind him.
Yeah.
And one thing you can say about D'Antoni Houston team last year, they did lock in the bubble and play great defense. I mean, I know sometimes the analytics are bad. And, you know, I'm saying, when I say good defense, I mean better than what we expected, which was zero traditionally from his teams. I thought Harden, some of the plays he made, I think that was attention to detail. And one thing that Kevin Durant showed us in Golden State when he didn't have to carry so much of the offensive load is that he can be a tremendous help defender. With his length coming from the backside, his ability to rebound, his ability to like block shots from the backside and help defender, I think really surprised a lot of people. You know, Jerry Allen is that's a little pogo stick. He's their version of McGee. He's their pogo stick, their energy guy. He's the guy that's supposed to run down, get the easy lobs. And, you know, with these two guys being able to break down the defense, KD can break the defense down, Kyrie can break the defense down. That means Lob City for a guy like Jared Allen, who should have a tremendous field goal percentage.
All right, let's quickly go. We're just going to do a couple of things here that are newsworthy for audio files, real quick.
The audio file.
First on this topic, let's hear from Kevin Durant from the YES Network on how it felt just to get back out there after almost 2 years off the court.
Man, it felt good. I mean, obviously the circumstances are different. No fans in the stands, and I know the Nets fans were looking forward to this day. But hopefully I enjoyed it on TV. And it's a first step for me as a player, you know, getting back on the court, getting back into my routine. And, you know, I felt good. I felt like I knocked some rust off early on, and I just got to keep building from here.
Now, Bart, again, he didn't play a ton, but you saw him right out of the gate in the beginning, aggressive, go to the basket, get that dunk, so you see the physicality is there. And then, of course, he doesn't hit a three. Through the shooting, you know, you'll wait for that to come back. But for him, it'd be conditioning, the legs, right? That's probably going to be the area of concern the first couple of games.
Yeah, back-to-backs. See if he can, how it feels afterwards, if it's sore. You know, because now he's reacting. He's not going on drills and doing what he think he should do or go where drills go. He's going to be reacting to whatever the opponent is doing. And as the opponents get harder and difficult, we got to see how that thing holds up. You know, I wouldn't say low management, but we got to make sure that, you know, you get him to a certain point before he can kind of let it all loose. The goal is to try and get him to the postseason where he can be hitting his stride and feeling that he can really trust, you know, everything that he went through, you know, over the past season in the rehab.
Yeah, I wouldn't picture like, oh, he's going to average 30 again, you know, not this season, but once he gets to the postseason, I think maybe he starts to become that guy. But it's a long time being off. You got to knock the rust off, and you got to get the conditioning back, and game conditioning is the only way to do it. And they only have two preseason games. The next time they play is Friday against the Celtics, and then they're done with the preseason. They go right into the regular season, so it's not a lot of preseason action, but at least for the beginning, for him and for Kyrie, it was a good start. All right, last thing, because this is also newsworthy in the world of baseball, but also in the world of sports. It was reported last night, I think it was the New York Times and then ESPN confirmed that the Cleveland Indians will no longer be the Cleveland Indians. Yeah. Much like Washington dropping Redskins, the Cleveland will have a name change. They have not announced what that change will be, but they will make the change. And Aaron Goldhammer, by the way, one of their all-time great last names in anything. Yeah, he's ESPN Cleveland. obviously a radio host out there, was on SportsCenter last night and gave this reaction.
I think a lot of Indians fans realize also that it's just time, that we're evolving beyond these names and these mascots as a society, and that the Indians could position themselves to fit better amidst that culture moving forward into the 2020s and beyond. The other thing a lot of Indians fans are saying and feeling is it's not like this name has an incredible winning tradition. The Indians have had it for 105 years. They've won two World Series, one in 1920 and one in 1948. So maybe with the starting pitching they have and with some of the talented players they have moving forward, a name change could also spell better karma and better momentum for them to actually break the longest championship drought professional sports and win their first World Series since 1948.
Again, when you have that name, shouldn't you talk like a little differently? Like, should I see there is no pleasing you?
You want pancakes?
Like, I mean, something, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was time though, and it's funny, man. Like, they've been trying to get. I remember when they were playing the Cubs, and it was just like, okay, who's going to be able to break the curse first?
Yeah,
and LeBron was all in, and it just didn't work out. You know, I always feel for these teams that have like these 100-year droughts for a fan base, man. I mean, well.
Yeah, but I mean, just the idea of the name change, though, as you say, it's time. I mean, we saw Washington do it, and you know what? It's like the world didn't end, right? Like what? Like honestly,
you still just say they want to change their name. Still look cool. It's okay. Put the W there instead of the Indian head.
Whatever you want to do, and they still haven't come up with a nickname yet. Now we'll see if they do. What would be a good one for Cleveland? You're a guy from that sort of area.
Oh man!
Come on, the Bronze.
I mean, I like
LeBron.
Yeah. I like the Cleveland Cardinals.
Instead of the Browns, you're the Bronze.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cardinals.
Cardinals? That's interesting. Man. How about Rocks? You can like, play off the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and also just like Rocks.
Yeah.
No? Is that bad?
It looked like a mountain, looked like the Cleveland Coors Light commercial. Like the Coors Light commercial, the train. Like the mountain.
There's so many ways you can go, but we'll see which way they go.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's put a team together for tonight's game. Ravens, Browns, 7-5 for the Ravens, 9-3. Cleveland has had a hell of a season. Now, Baltimore is still laying 3 here in this game, last I checked. Huge game for them, of course, in this. So the team we put together is very simple. Nick Chubb has been just running over people. He's our MVP. After that, we'll go Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards, Rashad Higgins, and Mark Andrews. That rounds out our team. Just a PSA. Just a quick PSA. We love our listeners, and we love that people want to jump in and help us whenever we need some assistance on maybe like, you know, some information, a stat or factoid. Sometimes we're just being sarcastic or just messing around, and sometimes we just have to get the break. I know that the Browns are named after Paul Brown. I mean, it's one of those sports things, right?
Yeah, but did you know
Paul? Like, Brown? I said Brown, the color brown. Like, just that's it. Yeah, like, it's just one of those things you just say really fast because it's something.
Bless
just,
your heart.
Some things are just freaking given.
Right.
Okay. Just had to get
Wasn't Paul Brown with, he was with Cincinnati first, and that was the whole beef and stuff like that. Like, don't think that we're not football historians as well.
I'm not going to know everything, but some things it's just like, I think it's funny how quick people are to just jump.
Right, and we're talking, we're just spitting facts out, random just, stuff.
Like, we never hang know out with your friend. Somebody says something like, why would they name that? Well, because of the color brown. Like, you just say it, and you know it's like, everybody looks like, no, it's not. You're like, I know. Like, you just...
The Bengals are named after Sigmund Freud. Wasn't it Sigmund Freud. Freud?
There's a like button, and then there should be a smack button.
Yeah.
Just a back
button. Really?
Like a fresh one. You want a fresh one?
Yeah.
I'll give you a fresh one.
So what did the five fingers say to the face?
Say the face.
Cold-blooded.
Slap. Meanwhile, let's see. All right, so let's pick this game, though. You like the Ravens tonight?
Well, the Ravens destroyed them game one, 38-6.
Yeah, it was week one. Yeah, we thought the Browns were not going to be good. Yeah, they're a much different looking team now.
Yes, nobody had preseason. No, everybody's always picked the Browns to win. They've always, traditionally, like, you always had that team that always beat you that you'd be like, man, I lost to the damn Browns. But in the last two seasons, the Browns have always kind of won and split with the Ravens. So they'll be right on cue to split with the Ravens right now. It's a dangerous game. It's not a must-win for the Ravens because they got three easy games after that, and they can pretty much easily be 7-6, which was considered a good record. This is more important for the Cleveland Browns because not only do they have the Ravens left, they also have the Steelers left as well. Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure that they're able to kind of, you know, win. And, you know, I think they're...
You want to get to 11 wins so you're not worried about...
They'll be locked into the 7th seed regardless. I think they've locked 6 or 7th grade, they're pretty much locked in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anybody in the NFC that can catch them. Maybe the Colts, though. The Colts are sitting right there because they're not going away easily.
Yeah, no. These last 3 weeks, like, NFC looks like it's set, but you don't know who's playing where, who's getting what seats. And I think that's something that's now going to become the story. Hey, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and the Michael Kay Show holiday broadcast is back. This year, we're giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with Michael, Don, and Peter with your holiday hot take. Everyone's got them. Fire off one for your chance to win some holiday spending cash and your way on the air during the Michael Kay Show holiday broadcast this Wednesday. It's coming up December 16th. Dial into the holiday hot take hotline right now at 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3776. Leave us a message with your best hot take. Four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Bart, great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.